RadioInfluence.com. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Wednesday Val and
Beans.
That was a weak one because I was so distracted by something I just saw.
What?
That we probably can't even talk about on the show.
Why?
We probably can't even talk about it on the show.
Mm-mm.
You remember when we were first, I mean, we were really getting flung into the depths of the whole pandemic thing, and we were talking about these missives that the city of New York put on out there to talk about hookup culture in the middle of
a
pandemic.
Yes. That was the best segment ever.
Yeah. Well, I just found something even worse that came out of Canada, and we honestly, I don't think we can talk about it. So let's just move on.
Can I link to it?
Oh yeah, let me send it.
I'm gonna pause it because I want to read to see if we can talk about it. Hold on. Okay, so I'm looking at this. It's on Twitter, which isn't surprising, and we're going to talk about that today. I don't believe that this is real.
Maybe. Well, there's no way to actually.
What the hell?
It's a. Okay, so pretty much just in general terms, it is a small brochure of how to stay safe at a glory hole. Okay, and you can go figure out the rest yourself, and it's coming out of Canada. And maybe it isn't real, but the thing is that we've seen even more degenerate stuff.
Peek before
that
you
is
poke.
Real.
Peek before you poke.
Peek before you poke.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to the Wednesday show, everyone.
Hello. To Distracted Val and...
Beans. So, there's a lot going on. And yesterday, the news day was just full of stuff. I didn't even know what to do with myself by the time the day was over. There were so many things left unfinished. But we're going to go through some of the stuff that happened yesterday, today on the show. Now, late last night, Twitter decided that it was going to ban accounts and censor in trending and hashtag, which it had already, hadn't it always said it wouldn't be able to do that?
Yeah. That's all out the window ever since we saw the screenshots of the behind the scenes over there since the Twitter hack last week. Now the story is, well, they've always been able to do that since the dawn of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me. They are going to be censoring QAnon-related content.
Yep.
Now, because it's disinformation and it causes targeted harassment and, you know, all that, I can't disagree that people are targeting certain people and harassing them, like Chrissy Teigen, for example. But when you post hundreds of tweets that imply you're a pedophile, straight up, some of the things
appear in Netflix series where you imply you're also into cannibalism.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what do you expect people to do once they're wise to you?
First of all, what is Twitter if not a place where roving mobs of leftists and special interest groups harass and dox people?
I know.
They don't like.
I know.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just all it is left-wing harassment.
And so given that, I posted yesterday, somebody tweeted underneath. Hold on, I'm finding it. Somebody tweeted underneath another tweet about President Trump and how he responded when asked about Maxwell. You know, I wish her well. You know, that whole thing.
Oh yeah. Which of course I have trained myself to expect that anything that I just don't pay any mind to is going to be turned into the story of the century.
Yeah.
Because it's so stupid. I've heard him say that about so many people. Oh, I wish them well. It's a little passive. It's a little almost like maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't say ironic. It's not ironic, but it's more so like good luck.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's not meant the way that people are taking it, that's for sure.
Yeah, as if she's going off into a peaceful retirement somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got to, you know.
I mean, if somebody knows something about somebody and they can't say it out loud and they don't know what to say and they don't want to appear as though, you know, he doesn't want it to be there, whatever. So somebody posted underneath there and said, Ghislaine Maxwell would not have been in the U.S. if she had not been given a year to negotiate terms with Trump in exchange for destroying the tapes of him raping children. She had to come in now before Trump's term ends because she has no leverage over the next president.
Who said this?
Some idiot on Twitter.
Oh,
so
God.
I retweeted it and I said, hey, Twitter, you going to ban this baseless conspiracy theory? Or how about all the people who promulgated the Russia hoax for years?
I mean, they told we it's several layers of government officials told us that Benghazi was over a YouTube video.
Exactly. So you know, this is all one sided and it's a straight up censorship tool. I don't talk about Q or anything like that, but I don't think that Twitter should ban people that do. However, there's a very big conversation to be had here about disinformation in general. Because I even tweeted something last week. Just because it's on a meme doesn't mean it's true. Now, does that mean Twitter has the right to just take things down that they don't think are true? No. But generally speaking, as a community, we have a responsibility to be sharing things that are verified. You know, that's a big problem. I mean, there are accounts that are dedicated to disinformation. And once something takes hold, undoing it is nearly impossible. And not only that, when you try to, you become a target a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it's a culture thing. This is what it is. For decades, a lot of folks who have now understood that they've been lied to forever have believed, you know, that people talking about how they've been lied to forever were conspiracy theorists. And when I first sort of, quote, woke up, I was super young, Frank. I was 20. And I'm going to be 40 tomorrow. God help me.
I was going to say, you got a birthday coming up, girl.
Tomorrow is my 40th birthday. God. Anyway, I'm actually excited about it in a way.
Should be fun.
It's a big one, the 40, you know? Anyway, so that was 20 years ago. And I wanted to tell everybody, oh my gosh, people, this is what's actually really happening. That's not it. You need to understand and just scream it from the rooftops. And there's this like sort of multifaceted thing happening where, first of all, you don't believe anything anymore because everything you believed was a lie that comes from an official place, right? Then you don't believe that anything is impossible anymore. Because you've been so lied to your entire life that you're like, well, if that's been what's been shoved down my throat, then this is certainly possible because they didn't tell the truth about anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense.
Yeah. So then anything becomes possible, no matter how outlandish, no matter how crazy. And, you know, sadly, 90% of the time that the outlandish, crazy things are actually true. But people are very untrustworthy and tend to move. The pendulum swings completely in the other direction for them, but they're also at the same time as the pendulum has swung, so invested in telling everybody they know what they now know that it comes across to people who aren't ready to hear it as sort of intense. And people have a tendency, and I did this myself. I'm not saying that anybody's I'm not making disparaging comments about anyone, but people have a tendency to obsess over it. Then it becomes the most important thing to them, rightfully so. And when you're doing that, other people get put off by it who are just not there yet. And so now that I'm 20 years into this, I do it a little differently now because it's just, after 20 years of trying to tell people, you're being lied to, you have to alter your tactics, otherwise you just fail. So it's a very hostile sort of environment out there with people waking up to the fact that nothing that they have ever been told has been true. Nothing.
I know. It's frustrating. I definitely handle a lot of things. I don't know. At the same time, I tip my cap to people who are
fighting the good fight.
Well, not so much fighting the good fight, but especially there's many boomers out there who are just starting to whiff the fresh morning air, and they realize that the fresh morning air is very foul.
Yeah,
and I call them in my apartment, I call them Bambi boomers. And why do I call them Bambi boomers? Because they're, you know, Bambi's born, and the little baby deer has got these rickety little legs, and they're just walking for the first time, and they're falling all over the place. And, you know, just exploring the great new world that they've just been born into.
It's true.
But, you know, but it's just very – and I've seen a lot of that in the last 5 years. And whereas it's very exciting to see a normally comatose group of people, all ages really, but a normally comatose group of people are becoming a little bit more activated and a little bit more curious. So many people are having that experience that so few of us were having on our own little personal timelines at once. They're all having it at once.
Yep.
You know, when you 20 years ago is when you started getting into it and started asking questions. I started asking bigger questions and started getting more interested in history and what was going on around me, not in school. It was several years after that, 2011. It was around August 2011 that I stumbled upon some 9/11 truth videos, and then I found Alex Jones.
Yep.
And after like a year of listening to almost nothing but InfoWars and whoever was affiliated with them, through InfoWars is when I found Ron Paul.
Yep.
Because he would interview Ron Paul a lot. So I went from there to the Constitution to all this other and alternative media. Then I started listening to nothing but mainstream media because I wanted to start picking out the contrast between how they are promoting the news and shaping reality up against what the complete polar opposite side of the information universe was talking about. Was there a happy medium in there? Or is that a logical fallacy in itself to think that the middle ground is the right answer? This was a slow evolution for me and for a lot of people on out there who were given the time to just do it on their own.
And now you don't have time.
You don't have time. There are people who are just rushing for the exits, and it looks frantic and crazy sometimes. And that's why I just try to make the best of it.
Yeah, but
know.
it's the best sort of frantic and crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. This is what I keep telling people who are disappointed about the pace at which things are happening. I say this all the time. It is exponential at this point. I've seen this, like, you know, and you've even had quite an experience with it. It is absolutely exponential the way that things are changing. And, you know, when I decided that I was going to work grassroots to help get Donald Trump elected, it was not when he announced. It was a few months later because I was of the impression that he was just another toolbox on the right who was going to, you know, sell us out and do all kinds of. And then I started really researching because I wanted to counter what he was doing to try and get people to think for themselves. And I was like, this is fantastic. Like, I can't counter this. This is great. So I jumped on board and I said, there's going to be an entire group of people that are going to need to know what the heck has happened before. And who better to help, you know, guide folks like that than people who have lived it and done it already. And that's what I'm doing now, everyone. And I've said this a gazillion times there. I was I worked on the Ron Paul campaign. I was a libertarian. I was one of those, you know, crazy Uncle Ron people. You know what I mean? Like, I was mocked incessantly by Republicans. People hated us. They called us the ragamuffins.
Meanwhile, the only thing that has had any kind of momentum in the last 15 years in the Republican side of things was the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Paul was a huge part of that.
Yes, he was. And
no, that only thing that actually had any real grassroots momentum.
Yeah, and it was co-opted by the neoconservatives. And we used to go to CPAC, and like they hated that we were there. They hated that we were there. It has changed so much. You have no idea. You have no idea. I could sit and give like a history lesson of the movement. They used to call us ragamuffins because it was like the Republicans' form of deplorables is what it was. They called us ragamuffins because a lot of the people that were in the Ron Paul revolution, as they called it, didn't dress up in a suit and tie. They were Americans. You know, they weren't like the typical stuffy Republican. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so they called us ragamuffins. They didn't want our support. They didn't want us around. They stole the nomination in 2012. And most of us were disaffected and walked away. A lot of people got radicalized to the left, which is absolutely insane to me. I'll never understand it.
I never.
I don't understand how some of these people that were, you know, going down to Occupy Wall Street to try and get them to understand why the Federal Reserve was a bad thing decided to join Antifa. I don't get.
Not even Antifa. I can't believe. I can't believe. It's not like I have an army of them, but I have a few friends in my life that started off with Ron Paul and ended up being Bernie voters.
So weird.
And I'm like, you never understood the
Liberty.
You never understood the Ron Paul revolution then.
Yeah.
You never understood you never actually understood it then. If this is the trajectory of your path, you never understood it.
And I got to say, back in the day, this was not where I meant for the show to go, but I think it's a good conversation. Back in the day, I went very far to the right. Like for a little while, I was looking into anarcho-capitalism and things like that. The opposite of the anarcho-communism that Antifa pledges, right? It was just the opposite end of the spectrum. But as I got older and as I started to realize like the real world is a little bit more difficult than that, it's just not going to work that way, at least not for a long, 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 long time. I became more conservative, traditional conservative. I kind of changed my views as I got older. So there are people that go hunting back through the past to conferences I've spoken at and stuff to find things that I've said that are just so ridiculous, you know? And things have just changed a lot. I mean, you get older, you get into your 30s and you're, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you're just learning like, we should be free. It's a little bit different than when you're, you know, in your late 30s or mid 30s and you're like, well, that's not exactly right.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you change as you get older. They always say that as people get into their 30s and 40s, they most of the time end up conservative just because real life kind of smacks you in the face. But. I never understood, like, we went down to Occupy in the city when that was a thing, and we organized a march of all those people to the Fed. We marched to the Fed. We changed it to an Occupy the Fed, movement, and we were able to do it. It was pretty amazing. We sat and we talked and we debated and we got these folks to understand, and we took them away from Occupy Wall Street, and we organized a march down to the Federal Reserve Building, which was powerful. And
I was probably just around the block from you that day.
We talk about that. Yes, you probably were. Yep, I was there. So, yes. So it was just, it's been a long haul. But like now, you know, folks are just kind of being thrust into this. Like, oh my gosh. So what I was trying to say basically was I had amassed a very large following preaching, you know, talking about liberty and working on the campaign and, you know, doing what I was doing as an activist in the Ron Paul era. And I made the declaration, like, we need to help these folks who don't realize what was happening for so long to understand, because they hated us. They hated us. They thought we were crazy and they despised us. But then they started realizing we were actually right. So do you shun them and say, we've been saying this for years? Or do you help them to say, okay, here's what this is. Here's what that is. This is what that means. So that's where my sort of, I guess, new beginning was, and where I've ended up where what I'm doing today. And all those people left. A lot of them left me. Half of them left. Half of them came over to President Trump. And then the other quarter or whatever turned into lefties. Mind blown. I don't understand that at all. But It is what it is. So we have an we have a duty to educate people. We have a duty to help them. We have a duty to teach them. We have a duty to make sure that legitimate information is at the forefront always. And that, you know, when a crazy rumor flies by, you know, it's inevitable that it's going to be amplified. It's inevitable that people are going to jump at it. But we have to do better in trying to make sure that we are working off of a truthful base. That's all.
Yeah, I know it is. But you can't do that when conversation, at least, is killed in the crib. And then other conversation is promoted. And of course, that's the situation we're living through right now with communist revolutions are being promoted by all of these platforms that are taking principled stands on anybody else that's looking on into it. You know, it's just nutty.
Hey,
you know, what's funny there too. You brought up Chrissy Teigen before. For anybody to go and put the pieces of her social footprint together, her social media footprint together, and say, you know what? This woman is really an unsavory character, and they're thinking about the well-being of children, and they're considering who the hell we are lauding as really admirable people in civil society. And then on the other hand, so I mean, at least people are showing concern for things that actually matter.
Yeah.
And then that gets taken on off. Meanwhile, pro-abortion.
Periscopes of pedophilia on their site.
Oh, yeah.
Rampant. That if you watch it, you're breaking the law. And it is rampant on their platform everywhere. It's insanity. And not only that, when it comes to the Q thing, I have not seen, other than some of the more, a lot of that stems from people not understanding what it is. Like, and that's a whole story for a different day, but there should be no banning like this. It's ridiculous. First they came for blah, then blah, 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 and I didn't say anything. This is the thing. And I think that it's time for people.
I wish they would come for the communists.
I know. It's time for people to stop giving a crap what the legacy media has to say about anything. Like, people are so scared. Well, you know, they're going to attack, you know. So just speak out about censorship. It doesn't matter what the thing is that's being censored. It's not right. It's just not right. And I woke up this morning to a story where Twitter is banning Star of David images as hateful, locking the accounts of users who have it as their profile picture or in their header. So I said, at this point, all Twitter is a platform to organize riots, terrorism, crimes, and share pedophilia. That's really all you can do on Twitter anymore. If you want to organize a riot in Portland, Twitter is your tool. Freaking ridiculous. There was a big bust, Frank.
I like big busts.
I like big busts, and I cannot lie.
Yes.
So it was Ohio, I believe. For a bunch of people arrested down there. Founder of a Never Trump super PAC arrested in $60 million bribery scheme.
Oh, yes. The Speaker of the House, right?
He's involved in this in some way.
I thought that he was arrested plus four others.
Yes, let's talk about this for a second. Matthew Borges, a lobbyist and former chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, was arrested in connection to a year-long $60 million federal bribery scheme. According to prosecutors, Borges and three other lobbyists allegedly conspired with the Republican Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, who is not under any charges right now, to secure a $1.3 billion taxpayer bailout for an Ohio-based energy company, First Energy Solutions. Law enforcement officials claim that in exchange for helping First Energy receive the bailout, which was meant to prevent the shutdown of two nuclear power plants, a nonprofit controlled by the House Speaker received $60 million. Just last month, Borges, I'm not sure how you say his name, joined with former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh, cute.
In launching Right Side PAC, The super PAC was formed with the intention of identifying GOP voters that backed Trump in 2016, but because of dissatisfaction with the president, might be open to voting for Joe Biden in November. As part of the effort, the group would highlight Biden's record on free trade, states' rights, federal spending, and respecting U.S. diplomatic and military alliances to make the case that most anti-Trump Republicans can feel comfortable supporting him. The Lincoln Project is also in a lot of trouble these days, proactively or retroactively registering as foreign agents of Russia. This would be the Rick Wilson crew.
I was going to say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to drink this shake. I have a shake. It's protein. It's protein, strawberry, banana, and almond milk. And it is just tasty.
This sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. So Scaramucci, shunned, pissed off because his China deals are falling through, decides to join up with the Never Trump criminal and start a super PAC. And not even a couple months later, the guy's arrested. I swear it's the Trump curse, Frank. Did we ever go through on the show the Trump curse?
I think at some point, because it is pretty staggering.
It really is. It really.
It's like, okay. As soon as the double cross happens, you just have to just set your timer because there's.
It's karma. It's karma on a scale like that we've never seen before.
Well, let me ask you something. With all this stuff going on, I mean, I don't trust my biggest level of discomfort just comes with the complete lack of principles and the complete lack of any kind of Western and truly liberal values. My whole thing there is I don't trust anything as far as – and I don't put anything past these evil people, manipulators of the public, and they want to take over the world for sure. So I always think, how the hell are they going to try to pull one over on us on this election? But is there any, you think, between all this stuff, between the censorship, between the PACs, the pro-Biden GOP people, all of this coordinated fury within the last 3 months before this election, 3.5 months before this election, are there any greater signs that they're actually losing?
Yeah, I know. It's really.
I mean, they have to know that they are in very, very bad position and that they're losing in real life, because this is just beyond belief.
No, I know. It's pretty crazy. Like frantically trying to save the last gasps, the last threads of everything they thought they'd be able to rest their coattails on as the rest of us burned.
Oh, they're definitely trying to set up the title bout with the proverbial opponent who has their hands tied behind their back. They not only want to tie Trump's hands behind his back, they want to tie him at the ankles too. And that's really the only way that they're going to be able to even suggest that the election is close. Yeah. So I don't know.
There was a thread that came out yesterday that really kind of bothered me a lot. I'm not even going to mention the account that put it out, but Carlos Asueta debunked the entire thing, where the person was saying basically, like, even if Trump wins, they're just going to pretend like he didn't.
Oh, I know that thread.
Yeah. And like through violence and through propaganda, just convince everybody in the country that he actually didn't win and not report the results of the election and all that stuff. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. All it's meant to do is piss people off and get them mad and get them scared. Like, what's the I mean, it's just ridiculous. So
How did he debunk that?
He had all kinds of reasons why it'd be impossible, like different modalities set in place, different safeguards that exist and things like that for it. And he pretty thoroughly put it on the rubbish pile. Like, I read the thread from him, but
because that original thread really pissed me off, because not only do I hate doomers. There's so many reasons to be a doomer these days. I just can't stand people who ingratiate. But the The other thing was there too is I also, as I'm reading, I'm saying, I can see this being tried by a Rachel Maddow. I can see this stuff being tried. Like, oh, well, no, our polls say that, you know, I mean, no matter what, I've been wondering how the hell they're going to stretch out the declaration process at least a couple of weeks. You saw what they did of those local races in Arizona and Florida and Georgia and all that stuff. I'm saying, how the hell do you think that they're going to try to push this presidential election beyond November 3rd and have it be contested for weeks? Not contested in the faithless electors standpoint, but even so, even like, you know, somebody out there is wondering, is there a way that we can create a year 2000 situation right now? Is there a way that we can create a 2000 election Florida situation right now? Is there any way that we can push the decision to the House of Representatives? Well, you know, they're thinking of everything.
Yeah. And I also think that President Trump wearing a mask now is pretty genius. Like, when I saw him wearing the mask, everybody got mad. Like, how could he do this? You know, masks don't work. Well, if he tells everybody to wear a mask, then honestly, the people that said no mail-in voting, perfect. Because those masks are supposed to be the foolproof way to stop the spread of the virus. So then if you're wearing a mask, you don't need to stay at home and send a mail-in ballot in. You don't need to. So for those of you who don't know, Frank just said, with his shoulders.
I can see it. No, I can see that. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I guess we have to, I hate talking in
maybe like strategy, like things that we don't know. I get what you're saying. Like 5D chess moves.
I just finally want everybody on the same page. I just want everybody in the same – like, for example, we talked a little bit about what was coming down the pike and censorship on the whole QAnon thing and people taking one thing or another too far and trying to make sense of a really complicated world all in one big fell swoop. And my whole thing about any of that stuff with all of the digging and the Anon culture that goes on the message boards around the world – is and on the internet is more so, well, there needs to be one galvanizing event. There needs to be something that brings everybody on the same page, or else none of this stuff, no matter what you follow for your news or your theories or whatever, none of this stuff is going to matter if at the end of the day, everybody is given their own little rights to settle into whatever version of history we just lived through. Like, I don't care. I mean, if I don't know. We all got to see the same thing at least once and not have it be up to interpretation of why the president's wearing a mask now, why he pays so much lip service to vaccines and the updates on vaccine development over here. I mean, everybody's theories are great, but that still balkanizes us intellectually. Can we just know what the hell we're dealing with?
No, I know. It gets frustrating not knowing and having to guess and theorize. And then everybody has their thing. Like, oh, he really likes Sessions, you know, and he's just saying that to make people, you know what I mean? Like, it gets hard because, and it's true, because there's so much going on all the time that nobody's told the truth. But we had a couple of other really big things happen. So we had the release of that Spygate information, late last week, and then, or was it Monday? I don't remember what day it was. Anyway, yesterday, we started getting some more detail about Christopher Steele and what he was doing inside the State Department. And I started researching all of this yesterday a lot more in detail. Let me tell you something. David Kramer, if you're out there, you're in deep trouble. David Kramer was the one who laundered the dossier to BuzzFeed. Apparently, Christopher Steele, because he's being sued. There's a whole bunch of stuff here. This is going to get a little confusing, but I'm going to try to explain it. Okay. Christopher Steele had one primary subsource. He's been identified, people think. That primary subsource, also had a set of four sources or five. Those people told primary subsource information. Primary subsource told that to Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele made a dossier. One of the people that was a source to the primary source So one of the people that fed the information to the main guy was a contractor or employee or handled public relations for a company that was named as a facilitator in the dossier. So a company that was slandered in the dossier was owned by this guy, Gubarev. And that guy was hired or was working with or had an employee that was a source for the dossier. Does this make sense?
Well, that last part, I'm...
Okay.
Yeah, just that last part, because other than that, I understand steel, subsource, five sources underneath that.
One of those sources
is part of a company that was smeared in the dossier.
Yes.
So he smeared himself.
She smeared the company. Oh, she was involved in laundering information that was false to Christopher Steele via the source. And she actually worked for Gubarev's company. Very weird. Well, so
why do you think the self-slander?
I'm still getting there. I'm not sure. But I know Gubarev has another. He sued BuzzFeed here in the States and lost. He sued Christopher Steele a couple years ago and lost that one. But he's suing again. And he's suing Christopher Steele and Orbis in the UK. And there were a bunch of text messages that were released just, you know, a day or so ago because they're in the middle of the trial. Daily Caller had them. And these texts from Steele to members of the State Department about John McCain and David Kramer and, you know, working with Victoria Nuland. That name will ring a bell for you, Frank.
Yeah.
Victoria Nuland. You know, the source of ours that told us about, you know, all that nonsense. Victoria Nuland, I've been saying, is a big part of all this. So there's active cooperation between Christopher Steele, Strobe Talbot, David Kramer is texting back and forth. They say there was some sort of an operation that involved John McCain. Christopher Steele texts and says, I think he texts Dear Love, who is the one who gave the dossier to John McCain. And he says, oh, so like this operation failed, you know, but they don't know what they're talking about. Like there was some kind of operation being run on McCain.
Run on him?
Yes.
Or with him?
On him. They say he's contaminated, that you can't use him anymore.
Well,
we know he's contaminated with the evil depths of hell. But outside of that, you can't use him anymore. So it got very, very complex. And so what I did is I was able to dig out the UK court documents. Now, it's much, much different than it is done in here in New York, in the United States. So, and I'm not even in New York anymore. So the way they do it there is I actually like it better the way they run their courts there. It's very loosey-goosey. It's very like easygoing, but there's a timeline in there of the history of what Christopher Steele says. And this is where I got this Perkins Coie stuff from. Christopher Steele told them that Perkins Coie hired Fusion GPS so they would be able to contest the results of the election. This was in June of 2016. This is not...
Well, when did he make that statement there about the election contesting? That was just recently,
mm-hmm,
though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But he's under oath there. And David Kramer was given... David Kramer was McCain's counterpart. David Kramer was used to get the dossier back into the FBI via McCain. He worked at the McCain Institute. He also was buddy-buddy at the Atlantic Council. He pulls around with all the people involved in impeachment. Fiona Hill makes an appearance in this new chapter of what we're learning here. So the State Department involvement, Kathleen Kavalek was really like the only person that wrote anything of substance about this. It appears that the State Department, Jonathan Weiner, all those folks were very much involved with trying to promulgate this dossier through intelligence circles. And so Kramer worked with all these guys. He was designated to work with Steele. Steele apparently fed him information about Svetlana Lakova and General Flynn. In his testimony in front of Congress, David Kramer said, oh yeah, there was some information that I was given about General Flynn and a Russian woman, you know, who he was compromised by, and Kramer's up to his eyeballs. So you get this timeline in this court document, and you get a timeline of facts that have to be proven in the court. And some of the dates there from my cursory research yesterday don't line up with some of the testimony from these folks in front of the House.
Mm.
There's a big problem, and I think that Kramer specifically is going to be in some trouble. He's in way over his head. He likes to sneak around in the background and do his slimy, smarmy little things, but not so much in the foreground. He gets very scared when he's in the foreground.
Boy.
As soon as the light gets shined on him, he gets a little bit skittish.
Boy, do I hope that people get in trouble.
It's
be great.
Look, there have been several interviews over the past couple days that have very seriously hinted at a timeline within 30 days from now for us to start seeing real action on the Durham case. And just yesterday, there was a clip where someone was talking about this and saying, you know, this has been ongoing for years now. It's not like this investigation just started in May or in January. And we documented it, Frank, that we even told Devin Nunes, who didn't know that it started. Durham was poking around at the latest October 2018. That's almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So everybody can thank Jeff Sessions for that, by the way.
Thank you, Jeff Sessions.
Who was investigating leaks. And then I guess the last topic, maybe the last topic, let's give it. There's the Chinese stuff that just happened overnight, or there's the...
Are you talking about everybody burning things?
Yeah, now the consulate being closed down?
Yeah, I saw some limited reporting on footage. I don't know if it was drone footage or whatever the hell it was, of just dumpster fires of files being burned out there in China, although I don't know who the hell, what the offices were, what they were burning. I just saw that there was a lot of weird stuff going on out there.
So yesterday, you're right. Yesterday, two Chinese hackers were charged in a global intrusion campaign. The FBI charged Dong and Li. I don't know their first names.
Dong?
Dong. You know, like a doorbell, Frank? Like a doorbell, Frank?
Yes.
By
Ding dong, you mean?
Yes.
No, you have to start off with a ding.
Well, maybe his first name is Ding, and we just don't know.
Could be.
Two Chinese hackers charged in global intrusion campaign. Here's a statement. By indicting Ding Dong and Li, we're condemning their actions and those of the MSS officers at the Guangdong State Security Department who provided them with material support and direction. Unfortunately, China doesn't just use its hackers to target R&D or intellectual property. As we demonstrate in the indictment, China is also willing to use their intelligence services' cyber capabilities to target Chinese dissidents outside of China and protesters supporting democracy and human rights in Hong Kong. I want to make one important point, which is the same one I've made before. Our concern is not with the Chinese people or with Chinese Americans, but specifically with the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party. Confronting this threat effectively does not mean we should not do business with the Chinese, host Chinese students, welcome Chinese visitors, or coexist with China as a country. What it does mean is that when China violates our criminal laws and international norms, we won't tolerate it. We're going to hold people accountable, and we will be able to fight this threat every day. Then, all of a sudden, I don't know if it's related, but there were documents being burned outside of this consulate, apparently, yesterday in Texas. I think we're on to them, Frank.
Oh, so that was in Houston, Texas?
I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong about that?
Because I know that there was a closure of a consulate in Houston. I didn't know. Wait.
Hold on.
Wait a second. We directed the closure of PRC Consulate General in Houston in order to protect American intellectual property and American private information. And then video of CCP consular officials burning documents. That's in Houston,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was some kind of – I thought those were Chinese citizens who had like stumbled upon something very interesting.
No, it was at the consulate.
Mm.
And now the consulate is closed. Get the hell out. Bitches. Very interesting. Indeed. So, there's that. And what else did I have? A whole bunch of stuff. And you know, There's a lot of posturing going on in that area. I published a column by Stu that explains what's going on in the Asian Sea. All the movement of troops and things like that. I have robocallers calling me and messing up my screen. And there's military action that's happening. And Finch is of the persuasion that it means we're getting closer to war with China.
Listen, I don't know when the hell it would pop off, but I'll tell you, I think that China is behind a lot of course, the cultural subversion and what is going on in the streets. And they have a lot of investment here for all of the screaming about Russia to attack Trump. It really has been a bigger story about China that has been working our politicians and special interest groups over here like a puppet, along with other things. It's never distilled down to one enemy. But you know, there's a lot of conflicting interests on out there. I don't know. What did you just say again?
All right. It goes like this. Let me be clear. This is Finch about something with regards to China.
Oh, China.
Yeah. China's focused.
I really do think that the last straw, I've been saying it, the last straw is finding a way to draw us into a real kinetic war.
Yeah, but I think this would be something that Donald Trump would be supportive of if it happened. And I don't think that he's looking for, he's doing tons of stuff right now, financially, with the justice system, partnering with other countries to diminish China's power. He's using warfare. It's just not kinetic. I think he's at war with China in a very heated way right now, like screwing them big time. And it's causing them to get, I mean, this virus, they have to know more than what we know. If you were China and you wanted to destroy destroy America and the prosperity that had been going on and the economy and all the money we were getting and all the great trade deals we were making, if you wanted to destroy that somehow, how better to do it than to start something, even if the virus isn't that deadly, act like it is. Who gives a crap about your own people? They don't care about their people. Freak out and close down their entire country, which they've never done before, and then make it seem as though, like, psyop the world into thinking they all need to lock down because China did it. And what happens? What happened to our economy? What happened? Exactly what they wanted. I'm just saying. That's complete conjecture. I don't know. I have nothing, you know, other than normal everyday research in life to back that up and what I've done on coronavirus. But it just seems pretty plausible to me. I don't know if you asked anybody, they might say the same. But this is what Finch says real quick. He says, China's focused all of its resources on us. Its military buildup is geared to equip its fighting forces to fight a major war against America. Its espionage is the most aggressive and pervasive of any nation on Earth. I don't say this lightly. I remember the story of how the Russians stole the secrets that gave them nuclear weapons, but China is orders of magnitude a greater danger. The theft of all matter of IP, like trade secrets, of advanced industrial manufacturing, metallurgy, aerospace science, electronics, military secrets, defense technology, and developing human sources inside of our government. Feinstein.
Yep.
Make China the single most dangerous threat we faced since the Soviet Union. And you're hearing Pompeo especially and so many more people say this. You know, people who have information, people that know. Higgins said it. Everybody says this. This threat is nearly analogous to that threat, but is worse. The Chinese are more technologically adept than the Russians were, and every bit as ruthless and evil as the Soviets were. What many fail to understand is that... Oops, come on. What many fail to understand is that the United States has been in a Cold War since the 90s with China, but ignored it and refused to recognize the obvious fact. The current president understands and is doing everything he can to protect the United States. Twitter, Facebook, and Google are actively partnered with China and are all openly interfering in the 2020 election. For the left, who's partnered with China, this is an all-in gamble to steal the election and their only mission. It's their reason for being. Be vigilant. Antifa and BLM terrorism is actively being fomented, funded, directed, and organized by both the Democrat Party and Chinese intelligence. We're at war. We can fight back and save our country, or we can become a Chinese-controlled failed state.
Yep.
I mean, you can't argue with any of that, honestly.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Nope.
No way.
So they pushed him out of university. They pushed him out of science now. Their biggest technology company is losing contracts. Their biggest spying engine, Huawei, is being forced out of countries around the world because of the United States. We have the CFO of that company under arrest in Canada, and we're partnering with Canada to get that taken care of. I don't know if she's been extradited or not. That's a government company. You know, England's no longer using Huawei. Australia won't use Huawei. The United States won't use Huawei. These were deals and things that were made with these countries in Five Eyes and elsewhere that were not easy deals to make. You know, the UK really wanted to use Huawei equipment. So it's a big win. And, you know, between the trade, the stifling on the economy there, us making deals with other nations that China was putting in their One Belt, One Road initiative, making things more lucrative for those countries than China ever would have. We're attacking China every single day and it hurts. So there's things happening that aren't kinetic. This economic warfare, which President Trump is very adept at.
Not only that, but I thought it was really interesting to see to speculate just how much of all that gold they've been hoarding out there in China is real.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that bust weeks ago?
Yes, and
they estimate, just based on how many tons and tons of gold they found that is fake, that up to that at least 4% of their gold reserves that backs their currency is just like gold painted lead.
Yeah, it's not real, and their currency isn't deep. You know what? And not only that, but just the other day, there was a report that came out, like they're trying to poison us slowly. You don't understand. Like they're shipping things over to America that will kill us slowly. They're tainted drugs, tainted supplements, tainted everything. There were supplements that were sent over through Taiwan. Taiwan happened to catch this stuff. Did tests on it. It was human DNA in this material that they were in supplements that they were selling that came through a Taiwanese airport. It's just sick. They're crazy, sick, sick government. It's horrible. It's not the people of China, at least not all of them, you know. Then look what's going on with Hong Kong. Like it's just sad. It really is. They're allowed, you know, Biden is beholden to China. So many of our politicians, Hollywood, they bought off all the movie studios. It's a big deal, and Trump is taking care of that every single day. He's trying to diminish the ability for them to do what they're doing and take it back. So for no other reason, we're at war with China right now, and you need to vote for somebody who knows that and can fix it. Can you imagine 4 more years, Frank?
What could be done in 4? I mean, what I'm thinking is 4 more years would be pretty incredible now that we're starting to see that maybe there's a whiff of there being some sort of a support. There's some sort of a support. I don't know. This first 4 years has just been treading water and trying to flush out all of the people.
I mean, yes, I agree with you in a major way, but I also disagree with you. Like, if you take a look at what's been accomplished in 4 years without any help at all from anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine the next 4 years if we actually have a starting point that is a little bit more relatable to what a normal presidency in a normal time in American history would have had on day one? He didn't even have the honeymoon that most presidents have.
He had nothing. And he had the House and the Senate, and he was able to accomplish nothing because these people suck. So now this time around, we can get the House back, we can take the Senate back, and we have people that are actually on board to support this agenda. And he's got 4 years to do some absolutely freaking amazing, amazing stuff.
If they get the House back.
We need to. I was going to say something. I don't remember exactly what it was about all of this that was important. damn it. I think that after I did my story the other day when I talked to the senior administration official, if I can impart anything to anyone out there that matters, the amount of fighting that this administration has to do to be able to help the American people and just stop the subversion and the hatred that's coming at the, it's not about, it's hatred of the American people. It's not necessarily hatred of President Trump, because everything President Trump is doing is to benefit the American people, and they don't want that. They will kill people to stop him from being successful, like legitimately kill people. They don't care how many people die. They don't care, as long as they get their way. And that's what this administration is fighting day in and day out, that you never see. You it's not talked about, and you don't see it. Just understand, it is almost insurmountable. God bless the people, the good people that are working to help us. God bless them, because they're never lauded, they're never applauded, they're not cheered, but they're there.
Yeah. You have to know, always keep that in mind.
There are a lot of people doing the right thing, but it's not easy.
Nope.
So, quick announcement before we go. Tuesday, I will start my live show on WSMN 1590, WSMN 95.3. If you're a New Hampshireite, you know those stations. I'm excited. It'll be an hour long.
Now, what's the reach in New Hampshire? Is it going to be the whole state or just a few counties or something?
Well, it's Nashua and the greater Nashua area and southern Maine. So it's a two-state reach. Yeah, it's pretty great. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited about it. And it's AM/FM, so that's even better.
Maybe you can turn New Hampshire red.
Oh, gosh, that would be fantastic. You never know. You never know. I have an hour twice a week to do it. So Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m., you can listen live. That's, again, it's WSMN 1590, WSMN 95.3. And it is Uncover DC with Tracy Beans. That's the name of the show. Hopefully you could join me every now and again, Frank, just for a little hello.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Cool.
You know, I was on radio in New Hampshire. That'd be awesome to do that with you.
Yeah. I would love to have you. I have to figure out how I'm going to talk for an hour. By myself. No, it's not. You had a hard time on Friday and you could stop and start. I can't stop and start.
I do 2 hours a night alone.
You got music.
Music? I can't play music. I have 30 seconds of lead in. Not only that, but aren't you able to, do you have any capability of taking calls?
Not yet, because I'm not in New Hampshire, obviously.
Right.
So we're trying to figure out the best and most efficient way to route those calls to me.
So then what are you doing? Is this going to be a Skype call to them?
Yeah.
Shit. What happens if you have like bad weather or bad connection one day?
I'm hardwired here. So the fact that, you know, that would be rare. But what will happen in that case is the Dark to Light podcast will go out for the hour.
Oh, okay.
So like the Monday podcast will go out on Tuesday for them.
So then we can't even say.
We have to be careful.
Yeah, we can't even say. The S word anymore.
They can edit it. They can edit it for us. Like
I don't want to create more work for them, though.
Anyway. Yeah, the one thing that was stressed to me. Don't curse. Don't.
I wouldn't do that.
No, not you. I'm saying they were telling me, the station owner, do not curse on the air. Very important. You're not on a podcast. No cursing. So. Not you, Frank. Me. Anyway, so I'm excited about that. And tomorrow's my birthday, so I'll be starting off 40 in a big way next week.
And happy birthday.
Yay. All right. Well, you've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Not so distracted anymore, Val. And...
Beans, you can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, or podcast, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify... And radioinfluence.com until when? Until Friday. Friday. Ugh.
It's already here. Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.